Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes, defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're getting ready to get into another hour's worth of sports here in the Mitten State. But before we do all of that, I hope all of you are doing fantastic. I am doing well on this Friday. Lacrosse, summer lacrosse got started for me last week. Went into a tournament last weekend down in Cincinnati. Took care of business. We didn't get a trophy. Didn't win a championship, but we did end the weekend positive. We're 3-2 on the summer season. Have another tournament coming up this weekend in Three Rivers. Super excited to get into that. I have a great group of kids this year. I was a little worried about moving down to 12U and working with younger kids after I'd only been working with high school kids before. But man, has it been a ride. It's been fun so far. They are a bubblish group who loves to have fun, lots of energy, and they work hard and they're coachable. So I can run with that any day of the week. It's going to be an exciting weekend hanging out with my grandparents as well. Tons of sports on as well. NBA, NHL, MLB, WNBA. It's everywhere. FIFA World Cup is going on as well. We're going to dive into a bunch this episode. Obviously, we're going to start with our Tigers who, well, have me happy. Pleasantly surprised to see how the last week has gone for the Tigers. Ready to jump into that and talk about everything popping off inside of Comerica Park. And then we'll touch in on the FIFA World Cup, see what's happening with the UFC White House card, and then we'll touch on the NBA and NHL playoffs before getting into our picks at the end of the show, which I'm excited for you guys to continue to play along and enjoy. But now that we've gotten through the obligatory, it's time for us to take our drive on over to Comerica Park and start there where we always start when it comes to our teams. We're hitting the standings. The Tigers are still fourth in the American League Central. At the top, the White Sox, who are 36-31. The Guardians are a half game behind them at 37-33. The Twins are 31-39, 6.5 games back. Tigers, 8 games back from the lead at 29-40. And then the Royals at the bottom of the AL Central at 28-41, 9 games behind the leaders, 1 game behind our Tigers. Tigers only a game and a half back from third place and a whopping 7.5 games back from second. So some work to be done, but they're definitely getting back in the groove. They're now fourth from the bottom in the AL Central. Below them, the Red Sox, who are 27-39, 13.5 games back from the league-leading Tampa Bay Rays. The Royals, 28-41, 14 games back. And then the Los Angeles Angels, who are 27-42, are 15 games back. Tigers are 13 games back at the top. The Rays, 40-25. Yankees, 41-26, tied for first place. And then the White Sox in third. Guardians in fourth and the Mariners in fifth, 6.5 games back from the lead at 36-34. White Sox are 5 games back. Guardians 5.5. Over in the NL, the Braves lead the National League at 45-23. A game and a half back are the Dodgers at 44-25. At 41-25, 3 games back are the Brewers. The Cardinals coming in fourth at 37-29, 7 games back, and rounding out the top five are the Philadelphia Phillies, 8 games behind the Braves at 37-31. Looking back at our Tigers, batting leaders, Riley Green still atop of the batting average category at a .301. He has an on-base percentage of .391 and a slugging percentage of .462. Home runs. The Jacks belong to Dylan Dangler as he has 16 bombs on the year. He also leads the team in RBIs as he's batted in 49 runs. He's a batting average of .254. So he's not hitting the ball a lot, but when he does, he's hitting dingers and bringing in runs left and right. Leading the earned run average, Keiter Montero, 3.61. He's got 3 wins, 48 strikeouts on the year. Leading the wins, Brent Herter, 4 wins, 18 strikeouts, 2.84 ERA. And then you have Flaherty, 77 strikeouts to lead the team. He's only got 1 win on the year. His ERA is a 5.31. Batting, the team's bringing in 285 runs, which is 22nd in the league. Their batting average of .236 is good for 24th. Their on-base percentage of .381 is 17th. And their slugging percentage of .393 is 15th. So some of those batting statistics starting to rise, and we'll touch on why that's happening in just a moment. The earned run average on the pitching side of 3.97 is 12th. The quality starts of 25, tied for 8th. The whip of 1.28 is 13th. And their opponent batting average of .240 is 14th in the league. So pitching stats still doing very well for the Tigers, keeping them in somewhat of a contention. As before we get into anything else that's happening, the most exciting news for Tigers fans. Skubal is set to rejoin the Tigers rotation on Saturday against the Guardians. Reigning back-to-back Cy Young Award winner Tarek Skubal will return to the Detroit Tigers on Saturday to start against the Cleveland Guardians. Manager A.J. Hinch made the announcement Thursday, adding that right-hander Casey Mize could return Sunday if he completes another bullpen session later Thursday, which was yesterday. So we'll find out soon if Casey Mize will be returning as well. We're adding the best pitcher in baseball back to our mix, Hinch told reporters. It's hard to describe what that boost will be. The Tigers announced in early May that the 29-year-old ace will require arthroscopic surgery to remove loose bodies from his left elbow. The procedure, called a nanoneedle scope, took place nearly 5 weeks ago, putting Skubal's return ahead of the typical 2 to 3 months out for injury. Skubal made one rehab start, allowing 2 hits over 5 shutout innings for Detroit's high A affiliate, the West Michigan Whitecaps, on Sunday. Velocity was good, Skubal told reporters after the start. Execution was good. I feel like I threw a ton of strikes. I was in the zone a lot today. It was a good day. Prior to landing on the injured list, Skubal had a 3-2 record with a 2.70 ERA and 7 starts. He allowed 35 hits and 13 earned runs over 43 and one-third innings. He last pitched for the Tigers on April 29th. So that's a huge boost, as he will be returning. But it's time for us to talk about what's happened with the Tigers over the last week since we last talked. When we last talked, they were just coming off of a sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays, 10-9, 8-0, and 7-2, headed into a weekend series against the Seattle Mariners. Well, let me tell you, the buzz might be back for the Tigers. They are roaring. 7-3 win Friday night against the Mariners. Then they lost 4-0 on Saturday, and they bounced back immediately and won 5-4 on Sunday, which they got a day off, and then they rolled into a series against the Twins. Twins are, well, they're a pretty decent team, but the Tigers said, hey, that's no problem for us. Another series win on the docket. 10-4 on Tuesday, 6-4 on Wednesday, and then 11-0 on Thursday, which was a huge win for the Tigers. They're starting to put things together. Since last Monday, they are 7-2. This is a Tigers team we are used to seeing, and a large part of that is due to some hitters coming back into the rotation, right? Spencer Torkelson has gotten things back going. Kevin McGonigal has been absolutely great. Colt Keith got things going with his first homer against the Twins in his career. Gleyber Torres is now back, which I said a long time ago, that if Gleyber Torres was able to get back into the rotation and pick up where he left off, this team would start to put it back together. And he has helped the batting for the Tigers tremendously. He got back going, and you see Dylan Dingler still doing his thing. Riley Green is still being able to put balls into play and make it onto base. These are huge additives for the Tigers. They still don't have Javi Baez back, which will only make this situation better. Skubal making his return will make this situation better. Casey Mize could be making his return, which would also make this situation better. There's no telling when Justin Verlander will be back and how he will help the rotation. So lots of things starting to come together for the Tigers as they continue to progress before the halfway mark. But they're back in that mode we would like to see them in, which is good because they have some big series coming up, including the one this weekend. the Cleveland Guardians on the road. A three-game series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This will be huge, obviously, with Skubal back on the mound. Possible Mize returning on Sunday, as they have left Sunday undecided for the moment to see what's going to happen. But it's an interdivisional series. You need this series bad. You have fallen behind in the division to a substantial mark. You need to win divisional games. You got the Guardians. Then you're on the road against the Houston Astros. So that's always going to be tough, especially when you're playing on the road. If you're able to win these two series, you have to be feeling good going against the division leading Chicago White Sox, which is another series you have to win. The good thing is that series will be at Comerica Park. That's next Friday, Saturday, Sunday before taking on the New York Yankees, also at Comerica Park. Some huge series. Those next four series are huge for the Tigers. Three of these four series are American League series. Might be all of them, actually. Give me just a moment. Sometimes I get things mixed up in the American League and the National League. I do know the Yankees, White Sox, and Guardians are all American League. Oh, the Astros are as well, as they are in the American League West. So all four of these series are American League series. Not only do they help with league standings for the Tigers, but a couple of these, as I mentioned before, the Guardians and the White Sox are divisional series. Those are series you need to win more than the league series, but the league series helps you out as well. So lots of familiar competition coming up for the Tigers. Lots of players returning to that figure that they used to be, and lots of players just returning to the field. I'm really excited to see Skubal get back out. I mean, if the Tigers are able to go and steal game one with Flaherty on the mound, which is rough, he's going against BB, that could, I mean, almost guarantee a series win. There's no guarantee what's going to happen with Skubal when he returns, but, I mean, he looks good in his rehab starts, and it looks like he's going to return to being the Tarik Skubal that we have seen over the last couple of years. So, I mean, stealing game one could mean the Tigers steal this series if they win the first two games. Even if they drop the third on the road, is tough play, though. I'm really excited for what's coming up for the Tigers before the break. They will see the Houston Astros in a four-game series after the Yankees, and a three-game series on the road against the Yankees before the Rangers, Athletics, and the Phillies. So here you're getting all but one of your series, or all but two of your series, are going to be against American League talent. You got to be able to go out and win those games and see what you can make happen. But that is all that we have for the Tigers at the moment. When we come back for the break, we'll be touching in on the World Cup and a little bit on the White House UFC event with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 of The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're going to talk a little bit about the World Cup and what's coming up with this White House UFC event. The World Cup getting started this week. Everything kind of got going last night-ish / early Friday morning, as I'm recording this on Friday. We do have two games that have already gone final, with a couple more coming up later on in the Friday day. First, Mexico and South Africa got going in the group stage. Mexico coming in with four wins and a draw with 3 points. Meanwhile, South Africa came in loss, win, draw, loss, draw for 0 points. It did go full time. Julian Quiñones, Raul Jimenez, and Cesar Montes all scored. Julian Quiñones and Raul Jimenez each scored for Mexico in the 9th and 67th minute respectively. Cesar Montes got a red card in the 92nd minute. Stefano Sithole and Thembi Zwane each got red cards as well in the 49th and 84 minutes respectively for South Africa. But Mexico does move on as they grab the win there. South Korea took on Czechia, and South Korea came in win, 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 loss, loss for 3 points. Czechia comes in loss, win, 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 win for 0 points. South Africa was able to win this game 2-1 as Wang Inboom and Oh Hyun Yi each scored in the 67th and 80th minute. Ladislav Krajewski scores in the 59th minute for Czechia. 2-1 final win for South Korea. Those are the only games that we have live at the moment. But when we take a look at the bracket, which hasn't quite been figured out yet because everything is still in the group stage, so we'll find out who will be making the bracket here soon. But we do have two more games coming up on Friday. Canada will take on Bosnia, 3 p.m. Fox. And then USA and Paraguay played at 9 p.m. USA came in loss, win, loss, loss, win, 0 points. Paraguay also comes in win, loss, win, win, loss. Last five games for USA, a loss to Germany, a win over Senegal, a loss to Portugal, a loss to Belgium, and a win over Uruguay. Meanwhile, for Paraguay, they have a win over Nicaragua, a win over Greece, a win over Mexico, a loss to the United States, and a loss to Morocco. So, it's going to be an interesting case. I mean, the United States did beat them back on November 15th of 2025, 2-1 in an international friendly. They are giving the United States a half goal favorite in this game as well. So you guys will know a lot more about what happened in that game than I did, but a lot of people really have been talking about how crazy the World Cup over here has been. I mean, the players are complaining about how hot it is. They have hydration breaks. Don't even get me started on the fans that think that they can walk to all the stadiums. They think the food here is great, but they couldn't believe that we eat some of the things we eat. It's just wild how the World Cup can bring together so many cultures, and we all get to see really how things change, and we get to see how things are different in different parts of the world, and we really are truly the same people that all live slightly differently. The World Cup is one of those things that just makes it absolutely fun. But we do have a chance to meet the men's national team. Matt Turner, the goalkeeper, plays for the New England Revolution. Sergino Dest plays for Netherlands, PSV Eindhoven. Chris Reynolds plays for Crystal Palace in England. Tyler Adams, Anthony Robinson, Austin Trusty, Giovanni Reyna, Weston McKennie, Ricardo Pepi, Christian Pulisic, Brendan Aaronson, Miles Robinson, Tim Ream, Sebastian Berhalter, Christian Roldan, Alex Freeman, Malik Tillman, Max Arfiston, Haji Wright, Florian Balogun, and Timothy Way, Mark McKenzie, Joe Scully, Matt Fries, Chris Brady, Ritz are both goalkeepers as well, and Alejandro Zendias. Those are the 26 men trying to grab a World Cup for the United States. But some other news happening in the sports world that's a little more unconventional. The full UFC Freedom 250 White House event is going to be insane. Sports From aircraft carriers, helipads, sports is no stranger to unconventional locations. And this weekend, we'll see another unusual venue added to the list, the White House South Lawn. UFC Freedom 250 will, after months of planning and solving logistical puzzles, bring a UFC card to the nation's capital just under the shadow of the White House on Sunday. Unsurprisingly, the unlikely location and custom-built arena have produced some fascinating images as the venue has taken shape in Washington, D.C. Here's a look at the scene outside the White House from a variety of angles, and is literally right outside the White House, the Oval Office. It's right on the lawn, and it is insane. It's exactly what you think an outdoor UFC arena would look like. But there's a lot more that goes to it. Government response suit says UFC Freedom 250 violates no laws. The U.S. government attorneys claim the Department of Interior and the National Park Service violated no federal laws in allowing the UFC Freedom 250 card, which will be held on the South Lawn of the White House, to occur this weekend on federal property. The claim comes in response to an emergency injunction application filed last weekend in District of Columbia Federal Court by the Public Integrity Project in an attempt to halt the event, which is Sunday. The lawsuit claims the DOI and the NPS violated federal law by organizing a private sporting event on public property and failing to obtain congressional approval for the UFC structures on federal land at the White House and Lincoln Memorial, and that there was no environmental review before undertaking the building of the UFC's Claw Stadium at the White House. The government disputed those claims and argued an injunction would harm the defendants and its affiliated parties because of the well over $60 million spent and tens of thousands of hours of labor expended in preparation of the event. This, the government argued, outweighs the plaintiff's harm, and any injunction is not granted. This is a desperate last-ditch attempt to attack the celebration of America's 250th birthday by people who hate fun. United States Department of Justice Senior Media Affairs Manager Natalie Balassieri wrote in an email to ESPN, the department will continue to support these patriotic events. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but I'm actually really excited to take a look at who's going to be on this card. So when we head on over to the Fight Center, it will be a crazy card. There's going to be two title fights as Ilya Topuria will fight against Justin Gaethje. The main card is at 8 p.m. It will be a main card only event. Alex Pereira will fight against Ciryl Gane in a heavyweight title fight. Sean O'Malley and Ayman Zahabi in a bantamweight fight. Josh Hokia and Derek Lewis in a heavyweight bout. Mauricio Ruffy and Michael Chandler in a lightweight bout. Bo Nickel and Kyle Daukaus in a middleweight bout. And Diego Lopez and Steve Garcia in a featherweight bout. I do like that every single fight outside of the Alex Pereira and Ciryl Gane fight have an American in them. I think it's perfect for this kind of event. That's what you're looking for. It's to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the country, preparing for, you know, 4th of July this weekend. It is going to be a few weeks before that, but no other way to celebrate the country than to have a bunch of us fight against the rest of the world. Like, I do wish, you know, there was some moving around so that there weren't multiple Americans fighting each other, but this is going to be an extremely fun card to watch Sunday night. This June 14th, 8 p.m. Sunday night, going to be a pop-off banger right outside the Oval Office on the South Lawn, man, sometimes I can't speak. It's crazy. I get paid to do this, right? Of the White House. And I'm sure it will be star studded. There's going to be tons of UFC athletes there, tons of celebrities there, and tons of high profile people who are going to be in attendance to watch and celebrate what is a first of a kind thing. So I'm really excited for that. But I mean, there isn't a ton to really talk about in the sports world at the moment. That's kind of what sucks. It's there isn't a lot going on during this time of year. I mean, the Tigers being back, exciting, is fun, but kind of running out of topics and just pulling things out of thin air to make sure that we have enough for the people here. But yeah, that's all we have for what's happening with the UFC event that's going to be outside of the White House and also the World Cup. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be getting into some action talking all about the NBA and NHL playoffs here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Kyle. Carter Ostrous here for the Council for Responsible Energy. I want to share a few quick, simple, and inexpensive tips that will not only reduce your home's energy use, but will also save you money on your utility bills. As you switch from heating to cooling, why not opt for a new programmable thermostat that will virtually pay for itself? This is one of the easiest things you can do to really see some significant savings. You can save about $180 a year by properly setting the programmable thermostat. Weather stripping can also significantly lower your bills. You just peel the backing off and seal up any leaks in drafty doors and windows. It only takes a few minutes, but you definitely notice a difference in both the temperature in the house and also your bills. And my last tip, check your home's insulation. Proper insulation in your attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, exterior and basement walls can save you 30% on home energy bills. It's a little bit more work for you, but your wallet will definitely thank you.
A message from the Council for Responsible Energy.
Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes. We're going to touch in on some finals action. The NHL and MLB are both in the middle. The NHL and NBA are both in the middle of their finals series to see who will be taking home their crowns for the year. And starting with the NBA because, well, things haven't been as exciting as the NHL. When we take a look at game one of this series, the Knicks were able to pull ahead with a 10-point victory. This was pretty much a back-and-forth game. Jalen Brunson, 30 points, 12 of 31 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Josh Hart coming up big, 15 rebounds and 6 assists, no turnovers, 27 minutes of play. Knicks shoot 41, 31, 89 in their splits. 9 turnovers, 49 rebounds, 41% from the field. Or they led for 41% of the game, their largest lead being 10. All of this down in the Frostbank Center in San Antonio. And, well, Victor Wembanyama, 26 and 12, 6 of 21 from the field, 12 of 13 from the free throw line. De'Aaron Fox, 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 38 minutes. Spurs shoot 36, 26, 80, 13 turnovers, 54 rebounds, led for 56% of the game, their largest lead being 14. But they did blow it as the Knicks were able to win this game 105-95 by 10. And, I mean, go up 1-0 on the road, but that's not even where things got crazy. Game two was even crazier because Karl Anthony Towns goes for 21 and 13, 8 of 12, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Mikal Bridges, 6 assists, 1 turnover, 41 minutes of play, 42-39, 76 for the Knicks, 15 turnovers, 44 rebounds. They led for 50% of the game, largest lead being 14. Meanwhile, for the Spurs, it's still Wemby being Wemby. 29 points, 9 rebounds, 11 of 21 from the field, 5 of 8 from the free throw line, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, 34 minutes of play for De'Aaron Fox. 47-38, 70 for the Spurs. 16 turnovers, 42 rebounds, led for 47% of the game, their largest lead being 12. But once again, the Knicks escape with a 105-104 victory as Wemby missed a game-winning jump shot at the end of this game as the Knicks took a 2-0 series lead. This series is just about over, right? Well, kinda. Because here came Wemby once again. 32 points, 11 of 18 from the field, 8 of 9 for the free throw line. Dylan Harper had 9 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox, 8 assists, 2 turnovers, 37 minutes. Spurs shoot 46, 35, 78. 8 turnovers, 37 rebounds, led for 78% of the game, largest lead being 12. This first game in Madison Square Garden for this series, Jalen Brunson, 32 points, 5 assists, 5 turnovers in 35 minutes, shot 11 of 25 and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Josh Hart, 9 rebounds. Knicks, 45-35, 82. 13 turnovers, 46 rebounds, led for 16% of the game, the largest lead being just 7 as the Spurs escape with a 4-point victory in Madison Square Garden. And everybody thought things were about to get real interesting as the Spurs were dominant in the first half, leading by more than 30. Their largest lead of the game, or excuse me, 29 was their largest lead of the game. They led for 97%
of this game. But I think you know where I'm going here. They didn't win this game. Victor Wembanyama, 24 points, 13 rebounds, 9 of 25, 4 of 7 from the free throw line. De'Aaron Fox, 7 assists, 4 turnovers, 37 minutes. Spurs, 42-40, 85, 12 turnovers, 42 rebounds. Meanwhile, for the Knicks, 36 and 7 from Jalen Brunson, 3 turnovers, 44 minutes of play. He had 12 of 25 from the field, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. Karl-Anthony Towns with 10 rebounds. Knicks, 46-47, 71, 15 turnovers, 39 rebounds. Led for 2% of the game, their largest lead being just one, which was at the end of the game. OG Anunoby tips in a putback at the end of the game with just 1.2 seconds left to take the lead by one. And yeah, you guessed it. That's how they win, because on the other end, Karl-Anthony Towns able to tip the inbound pass from Dylan Harper, and it falls out of the hands of De'Aaron Fox, or Stephon Castle, who had it by the rim. He couldn't gather and finish, and that ended the game. A lot of questionable decisions were made in this game. They say De'Aaron Fox probably should have pulled the ball out at the end when he tried to go for a layup when they were up just one, which eventually led to a bucket on the other end. Many people are saying OG Anunoby didn't actually block De'Aaron Fox and fouled him, not only with the hand on his back, not only with the body, but then following through and getting a piece of his arm and not the ball. So there's a lot of questions around how that game ended. But one thing we cannot question is the fact that the Knicks won this game, and they now lead this series 3-1 going back to San Antonio for game five, which I will not talk a ton about because that's coming up in our picks in the next segment. So I'm going to jump over to the Stanley Cup final, which is a far different scenario. The Stanley Cup final game is going into game six. Stanley Cup finals going into game six, a totally different scenario here for them. Looking back at game one, after the first period, the Hurricanes led 2-1, and then it was a tie game after two. It was 3-3, and then Vegas able to take advantage in the third period, score two, and hold Carolina to one. They win that game 5-4. Nikolaj Ehlers had two goals in this game. Jordan Staal picked up a goal, and Shane Gostisbehere also had a goal. Meanwhile, for Vegas Knights, Shea Theodore, Ivan Barbashev, William Karlsson, Brett Howden, and Thomas Hertl all with goals in this game. Game two goes to overtime. Vegas up by one after one, up by two after two. They score one in the third, but Carolina scores three in the third and then cashes in overtime as well to take the 4-3 victory. Brett Howden had two goals, Max Stone one goal for the Golden Knights. Logan Stankoven, Mark Janowski, and Jordan Staal both goals in the third period for the Hurricanes, and Seth Jarvis cashes in on the power play to win things in overtime for the Hurricanes. Back in game three, totally different vibes. Scoreless after one. A 4-0 lead for Vegas after two. And then Carolina comes back and ties it at four after three. This game doesn't go to one overtime. It goes to two overtimes. And Vegas is able to cash things in. And they win 5-4 in double overtime to retake a 2-1 series lead. Thomas Hertl, Mitch Marner had three goals in this game. And Shea Theodore also all cashed in for the Golden Knights. For the Hurricanes, Jordan Martinuk, Taylor Hall, Jordan Staal, and Andrei Sveshkinov all cashed in the third period, making this one of the more exciting Stanley Cup Finals games we have seen over the last couple of years, let alone just this season. Game four came about, and the Hurricanes said, hey, we got something to say about that. They came out swinging in the first period. They were up 3-1 after one. Then this game was tied going into the third period, because after two, Vegas cashed in two in the second. It was 3-3. And going into the third period, at the end. Carolina cashes in two in the final frame. They win this game 5-3 to tie things back up at two. Game five was just Thursday night, and the Hurricanes handled business at home. It was tied at one after one. Hurricanes popped in two during the second period. It's 3-1 Hurricanes after two, and then they each score one apiece in the third. Hurricanes win 4-2. Pavel Dorofeyev scores twice for Vegas. Jordan Staal, Sebastian Aho, and then Andrei Svechkinov twice on the power play, both times equal to four goals for the Hurricanes. They win 4-2, and they are headed back to Vegas with a 3-2 lead going into Game 6. Vegas going to look to keep things going and going into Game 7. So I'm not going to talk a ton about this game that is going to be on Sunday, because I will also be talking about that coming up in our picks as well. This has been a fun summer when it comes to competitive ball. We have two series that could very well go the brink. There's nothing, and I repeat, nothing that says the Spurs can't win after the series was down 3-1. We saw LeBron do it in the finals, and we've seen it happen multiple times in this playoffs. And, I mean, 3-2 could easily be 3-3 and go to 7. So we'll find out what I think is going to happen in these two series coming up during the picks. But we're also just going to get into the picks in general when we get back on more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Tick. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and it's time for us to get into my favorite part of the show, the picks. Chance for me to show off a little bit of my ball knowledge and how much I know about sports and what's happening around all of different sports realms that we keep an eye on. And the cool thing is, you're allowed to play along any time you would like. Every single week, we dive into a ton of events that are happening over the weekend. There will always be six picks to make, whether it is games, contests, matches, whatever the case may be. And then I'm going to do my best to run through these, think about them, deliberate, have some research, and babble about why I'm so good at what I do. And then I'll tell you who I'm going to be picking for the weekend and why my picks are going to be right. And then you can do the same thing. Open that chat feature on the 95.3 The Ticket app. After doing your own research, deliberation, and talking and thinking about what can make the picks so right for you, submit them and, you know, see if you know ball better than I do. I've yet to run into someone who can battle me in a long season of picks and come out victorious. We know Jacob couldn't do it. Want to see if one of you can. And, you know, we might just have something special for you if you are able to take down the picks master that I'm self-proclaiming myself to be. And then that's the incentive you have, besides having bragging rights over me and someone who claims to know ball oh so well. Speaking of, last week was a better week for me than I've been having. I did end up going 4-2. The Knicks let me down in Game 3. They lost Game 3 after winning the first two games of the series, so I had to take an L there. And then the Storm lost to the Defenders after going in on that win streak. They couldn't keep things rolling in the playoffs, so the Defenders move on to the UFL Championship. But the Kings did beat the Battle Hawks. The Aces took down the Valkyries. The Dream take down the Mystics. And the Liberty take down the Fever. That gives me a 4-2 record for last weekend. Overall, 54-47-1. Really excited for football to get back up and rolling in terms of college and pro, so that I can get in a new season of picks, because this is dangerously close to 500, and I'm not used to that. But we do have six fresh games set up for our picks this week. We got basketball action between the NBA and the WNBA. We'll be hitting that ice for the NHL Stanley Cup Final, and we'll also be touching on the UFL Final. We'll start right in the NBA. Knicks and Spurs, Game 5 will be later today, 8:30 p.m. on ABC. The Knicks lead the series 3-1. This is basically last chance for the Spurs. Their backs are against the wall. They're playing at Frostbank Center in San Antonio, Texas. A 56.8% chance for the Spurs, a 43.2% chance for the Knicks. The Spurs are 5.5-point favorites, negative 198 on the money line, plus 164 for the Knicks, 216.5 on the over-under. Many people are saying Knicks in five, and I don't know if I can trust them on that. I think the Spurs are going to come out with vengeance on their minds, in their hearts, and they know there's nowhere else for them to go. All they have to do is leave it all out on the floor for the next three games, and they could still be NBA champions. We have seen teams come back from 3-1 before. Only one team has done it in the finals. Shout out to the GOAT, LeBron James. If you got beef with that, you can hit me up and we can talk about it all you want. But Bron is clearly the GOAT. Clearly the GOAT. He's done something nobody else has ever done. And, well, maybe Wemby can join him there in dragging his team back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals. I have them taking game five, and we'll see if we get to game six and seven to deliberate those as well. But I'm not sure. I know for sure it's going to six, though, in my opinion. Give me the Spurs in game five. We're going to stay right on the hardwood. We're bumping over to the women. It's the Commissioner's Cup still going on later today, 8 p.m. on CBS and Paramount Plus. The Minnesota Lynx, who are 10-2, 5-0 on the road, are taking on the Las Vegas Aces, who are 9-3 and 2-2 at home. They're giving the Lynx a 36.8% chance to win, a 63.7% or 63.2% chance for the Aces. This game will be at Michelob Ultra Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Aces are 3.5-point favorites, negative 155 on the money line, plus 130 on for the Lynx, and negative 173.5 on the over-under. Looking at the Lynx, Aliska Hamzova out for coach's decision along with Laitu King, so they both could be back. Nafisa Collier still out with an ankle injury until at least the 15th, so that's going to be big. Dana Evans out for the Aces until at least June 21st. Both these teams riding five-game win streaks coming into this game, but something that peeks out at me large and looming is the Lynx being 5-0 on the road in this early season. I can't pick against that. Olivia Miles has played at an unreal level. Natasha Howard has been great helping her out, and there's still so many pieces on that Lynx team, even without Nafisa Collier, for them to be absolutely fantastic. I'm going to stay with Minnesota to remain at the top of the Western Conference as they're riding an eight-game win streak in this, and they'll take down the Vegas Aces, who are also riding a five-game win streak. That's going to take us to the Wings and the Fire, who will play 8:30 p.m. You can find this on League Pass if that's your viewing pleasure. The Dallas Wings are 8-4, 4-2 on the road. Portland Fire 6-8 and 4-5 at home. Dallas 67.5% chance, 32.5% chance for Portland. Dallas 5.5-point favorites, negative 230 on the money line, plus 190 for the Fire. Jessica Shepherd, Paige Beckers, and Ozzie Fudd going against Carla Late, Emily Engsler, and company. Odyssey Sims is out with an ankle injury until at least June 20th for the Wings. Jordan Harrison out as a coach's decision, so we do not know when she'll return for the Portland Fire. Portland is riding a four-game losing streak coming into this. The Wings are 4-5, or 4-1 in their last five. Their one loss to the Minnesota Lynx, who are right now the best team in the WNBA. So that doesn't say a lot. The Fire did just get dominated by the Aces, which could be tough to bounce back from. As much as I would like to pick the Fire to kind of end their drought against a somewhat struggling Dallas Wings team, with the talent that the Wings have on the offensive end and really just all over the floor, it's going to be hard for them to battle, even though this is going to be a home game at the Moda Center for the Fire. I have the Wings flying away with a victory over the Portland Fire. That's going to get us into our last WNBA game of the week. The Atlanta Dream, who are also 8-4 and 4-2 on the road, will be taking on the Toronto Tempo. This game can also be found on WNBA League Pass. This will be Sunday, 3 p.m. The Tempo are 7-2 and 4-2 at home. They're giving the Dream a 64.2% chance, while Toronto a 35.8% chance. It will be at the Coca-Cola Coliseum in Toronto, Ontario. Naira Sabali is a game-time decision for this game with a hamstring injury. Kiki Rice is also out with an ankle injury for the Tempo. Amy Okongwu and Brianna Jones are both out for the Dream. Coach's decision and knee injuries, respectively. Alicia Gray, Angel Reese, and Jordan Canada leading the Dream. Meanwhile, Brittany Sykes, Marina Mabry, and Sabali leading the Tempo. So it'll be huge for Tempo if Sabali is able to come back. This is first of four matchups between the Dream and the Tempo. And as much as I would like to continue to ride with Toronto Tempo, as they have played at a great tempo, they have been an amazing team and one that has jumped into the WNBA as an expansion team and made the league better. The Dream are one of the best teams in the WNBA right now. The Atlanta Dream have started hot and have continued to stay hot, as they are second in the entire Eastern Conference, and they're only a half game behind the New York Liberty. Toronto's only a couple games behind them, but that doesn't change anything for this game. I've got to take Atlanta Dream. Plus, they got my wife Angel Reese on the squad. No way I'm picking against Angel. Give me the Dream to come out victorious. We're going to hop on over and lay down some ice. We're going to hop into the NHL Stanley Cup. Game 6 is going to be tomorrow, 8 p.m. ABC, as the Hurricanes will go on the road to take on the Vegas Golden Knights at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've already run through how these games have gone. William Karlsson is out for the Vegas Golden Knights. It seems to be for the remainder of this series and the rest of this season. So that's a tough loss for them. Sebastian Aho is still on the ice. Seth Jarvis will play. Jack Eichel and Pavel Dorofeev will both be on the floor or on the ice for the Vegas Golden Knights as well, which they will need. Carolina does lead this series 3-2. So if Vegas is going to keep their series going and keep their season alive, they will have to win this very pivotal game 6. On the money line, Carolina sitting at -115, Vegas Golden Knights at -105. They're actually giving the spread to Carolina as the favorite, take -1.5 to close things out on the road in game 6. Vegas, 1.5-point underdogs in their home ice arena for a pivotal game 6 that will keep the Stanley Cup Finals going. I'm not sure how this will go. The total sitting at 5.5, though. So you may want to punch the over on that, because not a single one of these games has been under 5.5. I will imagine that Brandon Bussey will be back in the net for the Hurricanes, who has played well over the last couple of games in this series. There's no telling who will hit the ice and be between the pipes for the Golden Knights. But I'm going to keep this series running because, one, selfishly, I want to see it running. And, two, I don't think you can put a team against their backs in their home arena and say, yeah, they're not going to win the game. I'm going to take the Vegas Golden Knights to win Game 6 and get us a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. No Game 7 needed in the UFL, though. The United Bowl, the final, is happening on later today, 3 p.m. ABC. The Defenders from D.C. will take on the Louisville Kings. Let's talk about the Louisville Kings making it to the final in their inaugural season. An expansion team popping off and doing their thing. Louisville Kings 6-4 on the season, taking on the 5-5 DC Defenders in the championship game. They have DC as 1.5-point favorites, 49.5 on the over-under, and I'm not going with the favorite. Even though DC just picked up a huge upset victory over the Orlando Storm last week and were able to find themselves here, the Kings are on a 5-game winning streak, and y'all know I don't go against trends. Give me the Kings to win the UFL championship. I have the Spurs, Wings, Lynx, Dream, Vegas Golden Knights, and the Louisville Kings to all win their games this weekend. Don't forget to continue to check out your Tigers action here on 95.3 The Ticket, as we have plenty of games playing all summer long. We'll be back next week with more sports action happening in mid-madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.